They're my good loves.
What? I still
and
can't
now
see
we're
that
live.
Mustard stain.
Are you gonna keep looking? You know we're live now, right?
He does know we're live now.
Well, good. Well, I had to hit the button.
And everything, so we're good.
Oh, good evening, Facebook land, and hello to all of you out there and anyone who's listening on the podcast. I'm not. Oh, stop pulling my headphones, cat. Oh my lord. Oh, that wasn't, that didn't feel very good. Sorry. Oh, cat butt.
Oh, I know that one hurt.
This is the extremely professional and dedicated program called Spilling Ink. We are an author and publishing advice talk show. Is that what we are, Jane? Is that what we do?
Yeah.
something like that.
Wait,
I mean,
yes, we talk about
are we
writing,
not
talk
drinking
about
on
marketing.
Tonight's show.
Hey, what? I'll tell you what. Daddy's drinking on tonight's show, all right? Please. It's a special special occasion.
It's not drinks with authors.
Well, only drinks with authors when I'm on.
Yes. Okay.
the boss lady Katie is gone, which means I get to do what I want. So, I'm drinking. So we are the show that brings you behind the book to meet the authors and artists in the publishing industry. Boy, I really kind of muddled those words there, didn't I, Jane? Again. Again.
Yes. I wish I could reach mine. It's way up there and I'm really short. So
well, I'm here tonight with our lovely host, J.E. Taylor. Jane, how's it going?
Going good. It's nice good. And tonight.
Oh, and it looks beautiful, and you're there in your camper, which is like bigger than my house, which sounds amazing. And then we also have a new guest to our show tonight, H. Glogau Morgan. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
Yes, 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 yes. And then also the infamous Rebecca Jonesy. We all know her. We all love her. Some are insanely jealous of her. And then also, we cannot forget the real star of this show, Miss Leah Lavelle, the cat that loves to show us her butthole.
Is that a turtle cat with a black head?
Well, you know, it's interesting, okay, because she just got her summer shave down. So she is.
Oh, she is. Okay.
She is a tortoise shell.
That doesn't look like a normal cat.
They made their cat naked.
Yeah, she's a tortie underneath, but she's black all on the outside, which is kind of funny. It always startles the groomers when they shave her down. Oh yes. Katie, I'm sorry, we're already off track here. We're talking about cat grooming. It's just how it goes. Hi, Anita. It's good to see you tonight. Anita Stewart says hi all. And she even used a comment. She even used a comma. I like that. I like authors. I like how they do that. So, Rebecca, before we went live, we were talking about cover art a little bit. Do you have any secret cover art covens that you go to get stuff made by? Any great artists that you use?
Made by? No. No, I make them. And you, my staff makes them.
You make all the cover art?
I make, oh, I don't know, but like 50% of the ones we put out, something like that.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty darn, I didn't know that. That's impressive.
I'm training our new graphics people.
Okay.
It might be more than 50%.
Wow, that's
yeah. It was never something I wanted to get into. I keep saying, you know, I don't have the artistry for it. Like, I constantly need someone with an artistic eye to help me along, but I do have an entire team. So, but so far, you know, all of them. You know, I'm going to go ahead and toot my own horn here, but all of them look good. They all fit their genre. I'm not embarrassed by any of them. I'm really embarrassed by my first stuff when I didn't have my team backing me up. You know, back when I was, you know, way back in the way back when I was just an indie author. I made some really bad ones.
Yeah, I've done that too. So it's like, when you look back, you're like cringing.
Yes.
I put something out there with that. What the hell?
I also didn't run it through a dev editor. So
the first two books had covers that were not good. They were 11th hour made up because my original cover artist backed out type of thing. So yes, I know that pain, and I'm like, please remove those from existence. Here, let me give you a copy with the new cover on it.
Yeah, I saw one of my originals in a friend's library, and I was like, oh God, who made? Oh, that's my book.
I'll tell you what, you know, and I have to say, my wife is a professional photographer, so I really lucked out here. But my first book cover, I still think, was my best book cover, because it was a shot that we set up specifically for the book. We got a young girl who was
lounging back in a wicker chair in the woods.
that's on one of the upcoming erotic releases. No,
I was gonna contact your wife. I'm not even lying. Like, she's tagged in it. I was like, what if she'd go for that?
But no, we set up this.
You know me, I could do some terrible things.
I know you certainly can. But my first book was a paranormal horror kind of thing, whatever we're calling it, supernatural horror. And it was, you know, one of the main characters was this little poltergeist girl. And so one of our friends had this adorable little girl who actually fit the part perfectly. So we broke into this abandoned house and set her up on a stairway and did the shoot. And it's just super cool and creepy. And my wife did all of it, and we just, you know, did a little type facing, and it was good to go. And still, that's the one I'm happiest with. And I don't know if it was because we were part of the creative process, and so it's stuck in me now that this is special. But yeah, it was really cool. So I want to show you guys something. So this is I was telling Jane and Holly about this image right here. This is an image that, you remember that new short story that I'm going to be writing, Rebecca, that we talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's another supernatural occult horror kind of thing, but it is about a woman with dementia, and I got to figure out how to get that off of here, and I don't know how to do that.
You know how to go back to us?
Wait, stop sharing. How about that? There we go. But so I found this amazing image, and I'm in love with it, and I couldn't figure out where it came from. It's not a stock image. So my wife did some sleuthing and found the artist, and he's like a legit artist. I mean, this is his livelihood. So sent him an email with kind of a wing and a prayer, hoping that he'll let me license it for not too much money to use on this promo book that we're going to be doing. Because what we had talked about is, we're putting this short story into my new collection of short stories, but we're also going to be giving it away as a teaser or as a magnet for the collection. Isn't that right, Rebecca? She's not even listening to me anymore.
No, she's not.
Look at her. What is she doing? Look at that, she's Rebecca Jonesy.
Do you want to see my newest?
I do. Show me your newest. Are you going to do the screen share too?
Yes.
Sweet.
I think I can.
We don't know what you're doing, Rebecca.
My browser lost connection.
Oh, hold on. So lame.
Did that come up?
Yeah. No.
Browser lost connection to the mic. No.
Oh, no, not you. Sorry. Let's see. Share your screen. My entire screen. Oh, it won't let me. Oh, yeah. There it goes. Hold on. Share. Hold on.
Oh, yay.
Yes.
Wait, nope. Wait, hang on. Add to stream. There we go. Ooh, that's awesome.
Yes.
I wish I could zoom in on that a little bit. That's really cool.
I just stopped sharing, so.
Nice. Oh, God, yeah. Got my headphones again.
Oh. So, yeah, that was my, I got to look and make sure. Make sure I'm alone.
Well, we were just talking about Jane's got a little bit of a cover addiction. Yeah. How many covers do you have?
Right?
In the 30s. I have to write, and I do have books and stories and outlines planned. I just have to get to writing them.
Well,
so when I retire, you know, I do all this.
Holly, are you a cover addict as well? Are you a cover addict?
No, not cover addict.
So, tell us a little bit about what you write, Holly.
The trilogy I just finished is lighter sci-fi, but mostly military fiction. Yeah, there's sci-fi elements, time travel, things like that, but its focus is a special operations team. And what they're doing to try to stop the world from going past its tipping point.
Now, is it like a bioterrorism thing, or what's happening that's pushing the world toward the tipping point?
There is a group that is at the heart of it, and they are trying to, in other timelines, they have ruled through terror and, nuclear bombs and creating catastrophes that end up pushing the Earth past its point of recovery, and then Earth decides it's going to start throwing its people off. So in the main character's timeline, they're trying to stop all of that from happening. They're trying to get this group, out of commission in time.
So this is sci-fi or military fiction, but it sounds like it's also thriller. Does that seem fair?
I wouldn't necessarily call it thriller because it is action-packed, but it's not like constant like you would read in a thriller. There's other things happening in between the missions, and there are some quieter moments.
Okay.
Not many, but there are some.
Oh, Mike Ferrier says howdy. Hello, Mike. It's good to see you on here.
Boy, hey, Mike.
I wish I could just add everyone to this, and we'd have like 50 people all chatting and not be able to understand anybody. So Holly, you were telling me there's a funny story behind your name before we went on air. You care to share that story? Because it's an interesting name.
Yeah, I was just going to go ahead with Holly Morgan until I started looking up, like did a quick Google search, and the first thing that comes up is a porn star. And I was like, yeah, that's not really going to work. People trying to find my books. So I went with the hyphenated maiden name, even though it's long and complicated and it causes probably more trouble than it's worth, but at least it's safer to Google.
Hey, porn stars can write books too. That's okay.
Well, yes, they can.
If she wrote a slightly different genre, it might even work for her.
That's true. That's true.
If I decided to write erotica, right?
Actually, you could make the argument that it's the same type of people who would be looking for her and your book. Are your books?
That is a very good marketing.
I actually I was working with Stormy Daniels' publicity team on getting her on my other podcast, and she was all set up to come on, and 3 days beforehand, they ended up canceling on me. And I was so bummed out because I was thinking that it would just be a riot to talk to somebody like that, because that girl's got a mouth on her. She just says whatever comes to mind. So I thought that would be a blast. Anyhow, speaking of bad Rebecca, bad. I don't know what you're laughing about.
We all know what she does with her mouth.
She tells stories, right?
Oh. Yeah, I write under my
dad's story.
Well, okay, now that we're on the subject of pornography, Rebecca. So, and I wouldn't call them porn, but I wouldn't call them books. Nice. Is it a Freudian slip there? Okay, but anybody
else? Don't insult me. Get the question out.
I'm like, Jason drinks more.
So you have your series of short stories. You have Keeper Safe and then Safety Ropes. And what's the last one in that series?
Safe and Secured.
Safe and Secured. And these are I always get mixed up between erotica and erotic fiction, but they have a lot of sex in them. Right?
The three you read are actually erotic romance.
Erotic romance. Okay. But it was interesting, and I mentioned this to you before, that they didn't really read like porn, even though there's a lot of sex in it. And I've been meaning to ask, how did you create the characters in such a way that we're actually caring about the characters and not just about all the sex that's happening? Because there's actually a bigger story that's going on there too.
I don't know. I'm too empathetic. I mean, once a character is alive, it's alive. Like, I make you care about all of the characters. I have one that is I have a couple actually that are just straight hardcore eroticas. Yeah, you know, one's even a dubious consent. And
naughty.
I make you care about the characters 100%. So at the end, you're actually rooting for her as she walks out with her head held high.
The dubious consent stuff is really tough for me. It's tough. I mean, it's
very dubious consent. It's really hard for me too. But she literally does ask for it. You know, and she is given every time she is given a chance to step out.
We had someone that submitted a hi Ollie's dogs.
That's a really good way to censor him. Good job.
That's okay. I was waiting for the dog on the porch to start barking.
I was saying, if someone submitted that, I don't think you should accept it, dude.
Nope.
Holly, no. Okay. Jason has the catwalk in front of him, so.
Oh, yeah. Cat butthole all the time. But no, we had someone submit a non-con to us when we were putting together an anthology at one point, just me and a group of other authors. And, you know, as well written as the story was, it was just, it kind of turned my stomach a little bit to read it. And I was like, I feel like a dick, but I just can't do it. You know, I can't get over myself. So it's tough.
I won't do them. I won't publish them. I won't read them. You know, that's as close as I get. The one I wrote, and that's actually one of the reasons I wrote it. I was like, this is my hard stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in my books, because my books are horror. They're all nasty stuff. And you know, in one of them there is, you know, a rape scene towards the end, but it's not in any way glorified or sexualized. It's a bad thing, you know, and you know, reading it, this is really bad, and you're supposed to be disgusted by it. And if you're not, then maybe there's some issues going on here. But anyhow, Jane, how's it going today?
It's going good. We're gonna go on off the subject, right?
Well, our boss didn't give us a lesson plan for tonight.
So. No, she's off playing.
I'm actually curious. Did anyone warn Holly about what she was getting into here?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Did they even warn you about me? I mean, I can always come with trigger warning.
No, I'm good.
Well, you know, I saw you pop up online. I was like, well, Rebecca's online. She should be joining us tonight. Yes. Well, Rebecca.
Funniest comments during the show. Anyway,
this is nice. I was like, who just sent me a StreamYard link. Like, what is this? And it's like, Jason, hey, come join us. I've been drinking fine. Okay.
Hi, Richard White. How are you? Oh, Richard White says, hey, friends. I've got to remember to read these comments instead of just responding to them.
Yes. Or if they're good questions, post them up. I don't know if that's
you can share them, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
remember
right.
How well, he only shows the things that I say mocking you?
Yeah, but you're not mocking us tonight. Yeah, well, at least not on the comments.
That's why you had me on. I was like, yay, I can't wait for the show. I'm in a mood tonight. Jason's going to get it. And he's like, no, I got to have her on the show instead.
Well,
I can type faster than I can talk.
Tell me, what's going on today? Because you made a statement to us earlier that you were proud of yourself because you've been mean to so many people today. I'd like to hear a little bit more about your day, Rebecca, as a friend, someone who cares.
So, actually, going back to the whole graphics art thing, one of the ways I actually taught myself graphic art was I started photoshopping people. So, which one? Okay, so today I made Tiffany. Tiffany, I'm so sorry, I'm going to mess up your name. It's Woodbeck. Yeah, Tiffany Woodbeck. I made her into an egg first because she's an egghead. And then she was like, my face isn't that round. So then I made her a wall. And then I made her a stack of books. And what did I turn Stevie into? I forgot already. Oh, I posted the fake romance cover I made of that used Stevie Collier and Andy Peliquin to fantasy authors. And I had made Stevie into a merman. And I gave it a god awful title of Merman Can't Choke.
Dude, I think Steven is like the hottest author on the planet, man. That dude he's the real deal. I would totally buy a romance novel with him on the cover.
Well, I made quite a few of them. So, There's a bunch with Andy too. There's a bunch with Andy and Stevie. I made Stevie into a hunter too. And there's Andy as a. I wish I could share these, but I don't have the ability to share.
Well, we actually have, we have a question. Finally, okay. We have a question from Mike Feria. I hope you're saying I'm saying your last name right. It sounds cool when I say it that way. All right, so Mike's question is, aside from unwanted sexual contact, what are other no-nos that make you close a book? So I just want to say right now that it's not necessarily unwanted sexual contact, because, you know, somebody could be groping at a person and then they fight them off and it's kind of the end there. But it's, for me, it's when that's a focal point, when you can tell the author is hoping you're turned on by this rape scene, that's when it gets shut down for me. And I'm like, I just can't do it. I cannot read that. I know that some triggers for other people are violence against animals. There's a scene in Whispers in the Shadows, my second novel, where an animal is very grotesquely killed. And it's in the book because it actually happened in real life. And it was part of the story I was telling, but I've had several people tell me that I closed the book right then and I almost didn't open it again because of it. And I was like, you know, I understand. I really do. But so for you ladies, what are some things that'll make you put down a book?
Why don't we let Holly go first?
Pretty much the same as if, you know, like, in my first novel, there is a rape scene. She is raped. You know, she's living in a refugee camp in a really rough situation. And I made sure I kept it toned down because I didn't want to trigger anyone. But like you said, if someone's writing it to glorify it or, you know, to make it something to turn you on, that's it. I'm done. I won't even, you know, won't even make another attempt a few pages later. Like, some people just skip ahead. I won't even, I'm done with the book.
Yeah. For me, what are you looking for? Sorry. In that one on the bottom. Sorry. Yes. They're looking for matches. It's like,
the fire. There.
Yeah. That's over there.
I'm helpful. Jason and I are helpful.
I know. The matches for the fire. I don't know if I have too many violent things that shut me down. It's more on the editorial side. If somebody doesn't, you know, is repeating themselves or hasn't caught. I'm looking at Rebecca. She's like, yeah, that's probably right. If you haven't caught my attention, I'll close the book. And I'm a really tough person to catch my attention.
I have this summer, I'm doing all the live shows for the Raven at our local library, and it's been a lot of fun. But because of that, I've also been, I have to read these people's books,
yep,
before I do the show. And I don't always love every book that I read, but when you're committed to doing something like that, you have to read it anyway.
Right.
And that's a real challenge for me. So it's kind of, because it's just like schoolwork. When I was back in school, I mean, God, I must have just been the worst student ever. When when I have to do something, it's like I automatically don't want to do it. Like the book I'm reading right now, fascinating story. I already know the story because the author told me the story. Yeah. And it's an amazing story, but it's really, it's not the kind of book I normally read. So I'm struggling. Every time I open the book, my eyes start to close. I'm like, oh my gosh, really? Come on. I've got 10 days. I have to get through this. I have to do it. But you know what? Another thing that that really turns me off is, and this was in a movie, actually. I don't know if any of you have seen Django Unchained. With,
yes.
Yes, Leonardo DiCaprio, Jamie Foxx.
Yes.
Quentin Tarantino movie about slavery. And in that movie, there is a scene late in the movie where all of a sudden they're throwing the N-word around like crazy. And it's a white man doing this to a black man. And it's just over and over and over. And I know it's part of the movie. I know it has a purpose. I know it has a point, but it still made me a little sick just listening to it. I was like, oh my God, I got to get through this. I've started this. I'm 3/4 of the way through. But, you know, blatant racism just for the sake of racism really is a turnoff for me. It's one of those, like, I just don't see the point in reading it. But Rebecca, do you have any turnoffs? I mean, I know you don't, but in reading, do you have any turnoffs?
I actually have a ton. It's basically stupid people and gratuitous violence. You know, violence for the sake of violence that doesn't drive the plot along. I see that way too often. The main thing is obviously the stupid, you know, bad editing, reusing words or phrases over and over and over again. Yeah, you know, that's going to be one of the first things. I was actually reading a book I was really, really into, and it was the second book in a series, and I loved the first book, but I made it 7% in, and I couldn't take it anymore. I had to close it. I was like, done. You know, the editor in me is like freaking out. I've been sleeping. I left notes on it. It was so bad, and I'm such a dork. But like on my Kindle, I'm making notes just to make myself feel better. But then when I realized like I'm making the fourth one on a page on my phone, I was like, nope, done.
Yeah.
Done.
Well, and
I was like, really, I know precisely how it happened. You know, I'm looking at it and I go, I know exactly what the formatter did to make all of these things wrong. Either the formatter or the proofreader, one or the other. And I was like, I can't do it.
And I think that as authors and as editors and as designers and as publishers, that our time is very not only limited but valuable. So what we choose to devote our time to, as far as reading goes, we have to be picky.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's tough and it sucks. And for all of you wonderful authors out there that I haven't read, I'm sorry. I would love to say that I'd be able to read all of my indie authors' books. I would love to. And Mike, I'm not talking to you. Send me your book, man. It sounds cool. But
I thought you were saying you didn't want to read Mike's book.
No. I'm saying
Mike's book. I mean,
You know, I have my Kindle, my Paperwhite is full. You know, I'm deleting books off it all the time to fit new ones on because I get so many books from, you know, friends or just from people that said, hey, you know, I just released a book, you know, will you read it and review it? And I'd love to do this for everyone, but really, you know, it's like 1% of the books I'm sent, I'm actually able to read because there's, you know, it's such a time commitment, you know, and being a slow reader, you know, I'm in a much different situation than Rebecca, who is a true speed reader. It might take me a week and a half, 2 weeks to read a book. Really? And that same book, Rebecca might be able to read in a few hours. So for me, it's especially tough to commit that kind of time to something.
Yeah.
I'm going to be reading 500,000 words this weekend.
Did you get the book out that I sent you?
Yes, I did. It is behind the 500,000 words.
Nice. So, now that we're talking about me, because we never do that.
No. Jane wasn't about to say something.
Go ahead, Holly.
Oh, I was going to say it. At Christmas time, I won like 15 or 16 indie books from one of the indie author Facebook pages. And, you know, some of them have been great. I've been able to get through a few of them. Some of them I had to stop just for the same thing you said, Rebecca. The same phrase is using was 500 times on a page. You know, it's like, did you not run this through prayer writing aid first? You know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm like, this is great, but I think I'm just going to kind of skim over it.
What program did you just mention?
Even that skimming gets broken on you, though, because like your brain knows what's supposed to be there, and it's like,
right,
junk.
It's a Pro Writing Aid. It's a software I've been using for a while now. It's really good because it doesn't do just like grammar check and like it has things like an option to check if you've been using quotes properly. It has an option to go through for overused words. And it is amazing how much you learn about yourself writing when you're seeing how many words you are using over and over again. You know, and it's really neat because it's the way it's set up. You can go through every little type of mistake you could make. There's even a thesaurus option that's like, you know, I noticed you use this phrase. This might be better, you know, and I'm like, this is good. I love this program. And usually by the time I get it to my editor, she's really happy with it.
Hmm. I have never heard of that, but it sounds awesome.
I have heard great things about it from a lot of
people. It is worth the cost. It is so worth it.
Has loved it.
Wow. How expensive is it?
They almost always have Black Friday sales.
Ooh. Okay.
It's less than and much better than Grammarly. But it's like 70 or 80 a year, but you can also do like it's like $250 and it ends up being a lifetime of it. Where, you know, you'll never,
with,
you know,
with all of the updates always, yeah.
Right.
Lifetime updates on it too.
You know, I did the first year I did just, you know, paid it for the 1 year. Now I'm like, once that Black Friday sale, that's what I'm waiting for. Once that sale hits, I'm going for the lifetime just because I've been using it in everything. And not just the books I've been using in the like writing emails and stuff like that, running it through real quick.
Anita, I saw you're in the, don't we know someone that has a partnership with Pro Writing Aid? And you get like 10% off if you use a coupon, coupon code they have. I know someone who has that.
I like how you say coupon instead of coupon. That's interesting. So I want everyone to say the word coupon. Jane.
Coupon.
Coupon.
Okay. And Rebecca?
Coupon.
Interesting. All right. Okay, I like that. Wait, where are you again, Rebecca?
My brain's a little bit rattled. I am currently in North Carolina, but this is not where I'm from. Yeah, my family is from Michigan. I was born in Kentucky.
Ah, okay.
I have lived everywhere at this point.
Okay.
Except Nebraska.
Well, how was your project on doing the, oh man, what are they called again? The crypt orchids?
My murder cryptids. Board?
Yeah, your murder board. How's that cryptids? Doing? Yeah.
It's sold out so far. That's all I'm going to really allow people to see. You guys can't see the red stickers, can you? The little
we
red
can,
sticker.
Oh no, we can't see the little red ones.
The yellow and the
purple. All over there.
Okay.
You're focusing on Michigan. I like that.
Yeah, there are actually, like, there are so many in Michigan. I'm going to have to pick and choose. You can see there's a purple one up there. And there's only two on the front, but I've got three on the back. And I'm just like, it might make her take on two at a time in there.
Well, and there's
poor Holly, who probably thinks I'm still talking about porn. That's for my urban fantasy series.
So Anita Stewart says maybe NaNoWriMo has pro writing aid discounts.
I think it was Brain to Books.
Mm. Yeah. Sorry, I can't see you guys. The cat's in the middle of the screen.
Mm.
Nope, stop clicking stuff, cat.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't want them to click your mic.
Yeah, that's my murder board where my main character goes in and hunts down what could possibly be Rogue Faye.
Hmm.
Okay, that's awesome.
Yes.
That is awesome.
Well, there's one story in every state of the country. There's going to be at least one in Mexico and probably two in Canada. But I think, well, she's gonna encounter two, but I think one of them's going to be a good guy in Canada.
We've got, in Michigan, we've got, of course, the Michigan Dog Man. But then we also have Melon Heads. And the Melon Heads are actually in Saugatuck, which is just about 10 minutes south of me. So that's pretty interesting. I've actually gone on. We've gone and done some.
Portal to Hell, too?
Yeah, there's a Portal to Hell.
Yeah, you've got Hell's Bridge there, too.
Yep. But yeah, the Melon Heads are a cool story. So if you ever have a chance, look into the Melon Heads. It's neat. Because I've actually gone and toured the place where the Melon Heads are said to have originated. Yeah. So Holly,
oh, really?
You were talking about light sci-fi and military fiction, but before we went live, you were also telling us that you're writing a dystopian right now. Is that right?
Yes, I am. It's called Song of Sarai, and it takes place in one of the timelines that the characters in the trilogy end up in, or came from. Can't say which, don't want to give it away. And she is a teenager in what's left of the United States of America, and it's her journey from living in the wilds, which is absolutely untamed space now, to moving into a camp, to moving into what's called the compounds, and then maybe not eventually makes it all the way up to where the elite land barons are living at. But it is, you know, the U.S. doesn't really even exist anymore. And it's just toxic wasteland with all these little consolidated areas that are safe for people to live in. And she should have been killed at birth because she has a birth defect. And it's her survival story is that, you know, how she did manage to not be killed at birth. And not only that, but, you know, makes her way so that she starts thriving in this dystopian nightmare that she's got to live in.
Okay. Now, and do you write full time, or is this something you do in your spare time? Or
this is I call it the evening job.
Okay.
And I have time set aside every night that I sit down and write. Okay. And try not to let anything distract me. All social media goes off unless I'm having to bounce an idea off of somebody or verify a fact somewhere. But yeah, it's, you know, work a little bit during the day. I work part time, and then I write part time in the evening.
Okay. And you have some other challenges that you face when you're trying to get your writing done as well. You said that you have some medical conditions that kind of cause trouble for you when it comes to writing, right?
Yeah, I have Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. It's a genetic connective tissue disorder. Oh, you were familiar with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like this is currently a permanent thing. It causes my joints to dislocate all day long, either partial or complete dislocations. There's all kinds of organ damage, and I have a chest port now to get IV fluids that I need because there's low blood volume. I mean, there's all other kinds of stuff going on. But I learned when I had to go on disability and I couldn't teach full time anymore, I started to write. Everyone was like, you were meant to write. This is now your time to write. And I was like, how? My body's a train wreck. So I learned how to write with adaptive equipment. And I learned real fast how to use adaptive equipment. So all three novels and Song of Sarai are written with anything from, I've got a specialized lap desk that can move in various positions for whether I'm on the couch, bed, needing to stand, sit, traveling in a car for long hours to appointments, whatever. Things like the vertical programmable mouse for keeping the wrist in better alignment. Dragon, naturally speaking, and the absolute love-hate relationship that I have with Dragon.
Yeah.
What I end up doing is using Dragon for work, so my hands are in better shape for the evening because I can't stand writing books with Dragon. But I have it up on my work laptop, so I just take it easy there so I can actually use my hands at night. But yeah, the conditions and its comorbidities are actually have me labeled as a terminal condition, that it will end my life early.
Wow. And, you know, I think that a lot of us authors kind of bitch and moan about finding writing time or finding time to get things done, you know, just, you know, with our jobs and our family lives. And, you know, I can't imagine having medical complications on top of that and having to kind of work through that and push through that as well. So
my hours that I spend at the infusion clinic every week end up being where some of my best writing gets done.
Oh, that's incredible.
I'm just there sitting attached to an IV pole, and you know, I'll nap a little bit in the beginning, and then I will write for the whole second half of the infusions, and they know, they just close the curtain and leave me be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're writing, do you find that any of your own personal medical conditions or any of the troubles that you've gone through in your life, do you see that coming out in your writing at all, or no?
Yes. Yes. The main character in the Midnight to Morning trilogy ends up with a series of injuries that puts her in chronic pain by the time the third book hits. And so I felt like I could safely put that in and be able to adequately express what that is like and what she's going through. And then Song of Sarai, you know, I gave her physical disability upon birth. And so it does seep into the writing. She has a bad hip, so do I.
Do you find it therapeutic when you're writing about that in any way?
Yeah, I do. I do. There is some kind of release in being able to take my experiences and use it in my writing. And I do a lot of Story Master work in a couple of online games, and being able to use it in the role playing that we do. Like, I've also created a character in one of the games that has issues similar to mine. It's a good way. It really is. It's therapeutic. It's a good way to be able to express what's going on in my mind and in my life, and use it for some good storytelling.
Yeah,
and at the same time, you're helping. Sorry, at the same time, you're helping readers too, because you know, getting seen, being, you know, being in stories, you know, for people who have these conditions, that means a lot.
Yeah,
representation matters.
There's a group that that I'm of in of an author readers lounge that I'm part and author support and readers lounge that I'm part of, and they had a disabilities week, and it was great to be able to see these stories with these characters that had physical or mental issues, and to be able to put my character in there. I hadn't started Song of Sarai then, but to be able to put my main character in the Midnight to Morning trilogy in there and be like, yeah, she's had some of these experiences. You know, y'all can relate to this.
Mm-hmm. True.
No,
I'd like to have a list of books like that.
You'd like to have what?
I'd like to have a list of books like that. Characters with you know, disabilities, with issues, that'd be good to have.
Yeah.
Now, Jane and Rebecca,
a bunch of people who like to read them.
Yeah. Do the rest of you feel like you put a lot of your own personal troubles or issues into your books when you're writing?
Sorry. Like, I wrote about my high school years. I have a book called Silence about, you know, being bullied in high school. So, you know, my daughter begged me to write it. I wrote it. And it was cathartic, you know, in writing it and reliving those moments again, because I basically suppressed it all. But outside of that, I don't know. I don't have any ailments like Holly, or, you know, I don't have sleep, you know, deprivation or, you know, muscle pains. I am a klutz. I have broken things, but it's very hard to answer that in the way of, you know, how much of me do I put in my characters? My husband says he sees a lot of me in them. I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard not to put a little bit of you in, because that's how you see characters, that's how you see the world. You I mean, you can only see it through your own perspective,
right?
So
right.
You know, you might have an idea, you know, of other things, but it's still going through your brain.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I put a lot of me in there, but like, I got some snarky characters, got some sassy characters, I've got some, you know, characters who can make anything into a dirty joke. You know, I've got
like
a freaking pun master.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the characters that is actually most like me is my Kelpie. So, except he doesn't talk.
That's definitely not like you.
Exactly. So,
yeah, it's funny because my husband says I see a little of you in every single character you write. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to have that perspective, because I'm like, okay, I'm trying to make this. You know,
yeah.
I mean, well, obviously, you've got to put your experiences into your character.
Right.
Like, I know what it feels like to get my shoulder stabbed through. So, I mean, I wrote that in pretty well. Yeah. You know, that's totally realistic. I know what it's like to break a bone.
Oh yeah, I've broken so many that I have no idea. I lost count. That's why I say I'm a klutz.
Well, okay, two things. One,
I just say that accidents like me.
Wait, two things here. Two questions. One,
yeah.
What do you mean your shoulder got stabbed through, and why? And for Jane, why have you broken so many bones?
I'm a klutz. That's what my orthopedic.
Didn't you already answer that? No, I answered it too. I was actually stabbed by a tree, though. I was running through the woods and I flung myself around a tree to keep going, and there was a broken tree branch, and I just ran right into it and just impaled me like right there. And I managed to catch the bone for the most part, and the rest of it was just like a glancing flesh wound. So
yep.
Wow, that's amazing.
But when I got to the house, my parents thought that I had been shot by the hunters we were actually running from, and I was like, no, it ran into a tree.
Wait, you were running from hunters?
I have a really interesting life, okay? So when we were little, we lived so far out, our mailbox had to be a mile and a half away. They didn't deliver mail to us. We didn't have garbage pickup. We weren't covered under the fire department. We found that one out the hard way with the fires.
Wow.
But we are walking through the woods in our backyard, and it's not even deer season. And, like, I remember this dead perfect because I was, like, 4, maybe, probably 3. And my slightly older brother was wearing a He-Man shirt. I don't know if you guys remember from, you know, the early 80s, but, you know, the He-Man shirts were all brown, and they had the gold lettering. And they had Castle Grayskull. And you have Whackman, like all of the lettering on kids' shirts were like coated in glitter. Mm-hmm. Well, some drunk hunter mistook him for a deer and just started randomly shooting towards us.
That's because deers have
and
deer
chased
have
us
glitter.
Chased us the entire 5 acres back to the house.
Oh my word.
Our dog is like the only thing that saved our lives. And he's a little Dachshund, but I mean, A++, wood dog again. He's an amazing dog.
Wow.
So my father heard the gunshots. He actually came out the back door because he knew we were out there. And once again, this is on our property. Like, this is on our property. They continued to chase us into our backyard, but we had really tall grass for hay. So we're running through the hay field, getting back to the house, and they're still shooting at us. Like, they're pinking off our house, and Dad comes out with his gun and shoots back, and they're like, "Hey man, we're over here, stop shooting my kids, what is your problem?"
Wow
Oh my goodness.
I mean, they were completely drunk too, so Dad went out there and had a conversation with them, just talking to them until the police showed up and hauled them off.
Wow.
Like an hour. And they're like, you know, they saw me bleeding. Like, I didn't notice at the time per se. Like, I knew I got hit. I knew I tore my shirt. I'm not even 100% sure that that's the time I did that one, actually. I'm not sure how bad that one was. There's a lot of them. I told you about the time I accidentally staked myself with rebar, right?
Oh no.
What?
missed the heart, missed the lung, pulled myself off of it. It was a bad trip.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Wow.
I was bad. I just, you know, did cartwheels.
I told you accidents like me. We had lived in that house for like 5 years. No one knew there was a piece of rebar in the ground there. So I tripped walking through my own front yard.
Okay.
My mother had hauled a pool cover up behind me, and I didn't know it. My brother is being an absolute dickbag, and he hit my thumb with the hammer while my mom wasn't looking and exploded my thumb. So he, you know, grabbed my thumb, and I was about to say something to him, you know, all four letters. Turn around, and she had like put the pool cover directly behind me. Like, as soon as I turned, my feet went into the pool cover and I fell forward, and I hit right there on the bottom step of the porch, bit my tongue off, and I was like, what, you know, why does my chest hurt? I was like, oh, you know, I've like arched all the way back, and I started to pull myself up and felt something go clunk 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 over my rib, and I was like, I'm gonna stop now. But like, I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk. I had blood pouring out of everywhere because I bit the tip of my tongue off, and that bleeds. Apparently.
Wow.
So they're just laughing at me because they didn't see that I had, obviously they didn't see I hit a rebar, because, you know, that's like at that point in my, you know, chest cavity, and they didn't notice I'd hit the stair either. So I managed to pull myself up off of it, and I was like, I ripped my shirt. I freaking ripped my shirt. I was like, this is my favorite shirt. And I was like covered in blood, and I pulled it out, and I was like, that's a hole. So I went inside, and at that point I've got like blood dripping off my knee. And I got into the bathroom, and I pulled my shirt up, and there's just like, there's a hole like that. And it's right there. And I was like, oh, I can't catch my breath. Oh, I can't catch my breath. I'm going to pass out. So
I'm
like, I'm just like, wow.
I'm really hoping that shows up in one of your stories, that one of your characters gets a piece of rebar through their chest.
Okay.
It needs to happen.
It needs to happen now. Yeah. Exactly what it feels like.
Yeah. Or I'm gonna write it, and then it's gonna happen.
Took a piece of my rib out too. It really sucked. I mean, the worst part of it all, honestly, was the hospital visit. I mean, those nurses were bitches. They didn't do anything either. They, like, spent 3 hours. They didn't clean the wound out, mind you. Did not clean the wound out. Did not give me a tetanus booster. They spent 3 hours mostly failing to give me an x-ray. I finally got the x-ray. And I'm like, why do you need an x-ray? Like, I can see my rib. It's right here. I'm like, look, I'll hand you a piece.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. They're like, oh, the rib's not broken. It's just chipped. Okay, bye-bye.
And you didn't hit your lung?
Missed the lung. Missed my heart sac. It wasn't, like, I don't think it was close enough to my lung to really worry. It hit the underwear of my bra and deflected down, and then hit my rib and deflected down. So, like, just went underneath the heart sac, they tell me.
Oh.
You have a heart?
In a sack. It's a plastic one. I tied it really tight so it can't breathe. It's the autoerotic asphyxiation thing, you know. That's what I use that hole for now. That's where the drawstring goes.
Oh, nice. Nice.
Kind of. Squeeze it off for a little bit, Aaron.
That really could be a story, Rebecca. Oh, goodness. Well, Jane, you certainly got us off topic tonight. I don't know how this happened, but...
I try.
It's usually Katie who does it. But yeah, there's a reason so many other authors like me, because they're like, have you ever been stabbed? I was like, with what? Yeah. Like, I've had a knife through the hand. There's a scar on that one. Can you see that?
Nice.
Someone tried to stab me, and I threw my hand up, and the blade came right through.
Wait, who tried to stab you?
It was actually my friend's little brother.
So, bottom line is, do not hang out with Rebecca. Bad shit will happen.
No, do not hang out with Rebecca. You will never get hit.
Well,
I mean, like the freaking lightning that took my eyebrows off. Remember that? Well, you would like fall trying to run away. There's a difference. The bear is going to chase me, but you're going to fall down the hill trying to get away.
Well, we are winding down on time now. But before we do, we've heard about Holly's books that she's got coming out and her amazing porn star name. But Rebecca and Jane, what do you guys have in the works here?
Rebecca, you go first.
I have a book that comes out Monday.
Great.
Well, tell us about it.
Comes out Monday. So does the trilogy is put together for anyone who didn't want to read one at a time. The trilogy is together. You can get that all three books in one. That is Mandy, Wild Weekend Getaway. And you can find that everywhere. And there is a paperback version for that as well with the cover I made.
Can you tell us what these books are about?
The Mandy series is about a young woman who has just gotten out of a
good relationship
that has spiraled down into extremely abusive. So she decides, no, I need to get back to my old life, all the people, you know, he made me stay away from. So she goes on the semi-annual camping trip with her best friends from high school. And because he's not quite sure of her abilities, because she is, like, very, very fresh out of it. She is just physically recovered. a friend of hers who is herself, he is her protector. It's her best friend, it's her brother's best friend. He was sworn to protect her when her oldest brother died, leaving her a complete orphan. He goes with her, and during that camping trip, they realize that there is a lot more between them than they thought. And then there's a lot less between them. But it's basically it's a book on about sexual healing. And how, if you just get out of your own way, you can move forward.
Well, Jane, what about you? What have you got in the pipe?
Well, I've got a co-written book with Katie Salidas, and it's about a demon who partners up with a snarky cat to take on the seven deadly sins.
Okay. So
we
just finished the first draft of the almost completely more than first draft of the first book. And that'll go out in December. We're going to rapid release all three of them in December. So Beyond, Beneath, Between and Beyond. Sorry, it took me a minute to get
there. Man, that sounds like something I'd write.
Yeah. And we had a lot of fun writing it. So we're getting feedback from beta readers right now, and we have to check and adjust and get it off to our editor by the 15th.
Ooh.
So
awesome.
Pick as a beta reader.
They don't care.
You, Rebecca, can you do it in a week?
She can do it in an hour. Are you kidding?
How many words is it?
It's right now, it's like 62,000.
Oh, 2.5 hours.
Oh, that's it?
Yeah. It's not.
I can probably get that done tonight.
Okay.
I told you, she's a true speed reader. Yeah.
Because, yeah, we do need, I want beta, we want, I think we have three that Katie found, and I was like, okay. Because my beta readers were all, well, Katie's one of mine. She wrote it with me, so. And my other ones are knee-deep in trying to get.
Maybe I did browbeat her into sending me one. No. No, she forgot. She was going to and forgot.
Oh, over the weekend? Oh, okay.
Well, Holly, you've already told us about your books, but
we had talked previously.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, because she was looking for them. I think Thursday was when I asked her. Okay, I will send it. Shoot me your email. I will send it.
And Holly, can you tell us again what your book titles are that you have available?
There's the Midnight to Morning Trilogy, which is Midnight to Morning, Sunrise to Shadows, and Evening to Eternity. And those are out. And then Song of Sarai will probably be out in the winter. I'm trying for December, but it might be the winter.
Okay, awesome.
And morning as in MORN?
Yes.
Okay.
And I am still working on my collection of short stories for Three Furies Press. We are in the editing stages right now, getting through that. And once those are done, we'll start, I'm sure, doing some kind of marketing. I don't know what the plan is. But in January, that will be available for everyone. It's going to be 13 very dark tales, kind of the Jason Lavelle style. So I'm excited to have that come out with them. So. Cool. All right. Well, thank you.
And if you want to be an ARC reader for Jason's books, you know, let him know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just hit me up. Send me a message. I love having more
ARC. We'll be sending out ARC copies soon.
Yes. And you guys are all done with your editing, right? Completely done? Ready for me to send that to reviewers?
I think there's one left that you haven't finished dev edits for.
I know, I'm stuck on this one. Some mean editor told me show don't tell, and I'm like, damn it, that's like the worst thing you can say to an author. I'm like, when I wrote it, I obviously thought I was showing. All right, everybody, well, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and to everyone who's on the chat here commenting with us, we really appreciate seeing you guys, and we like your questions and your comments. It makes us feel good. So
us, Holly,
and stay tuned for next week's show, which will be amazing, I'm sure. I don't know who's going to be on, but it's going to be good. So have a great night, everybody.
Bye.